Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
In the ancient writings, a Savior was prophesied. This would bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And it was written long ago that God would give us a sign. A young girl would conceive, though never having been with a man, and she would give birth to a baby boy. He would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Mother? Father?
You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For nothing is impossible with God.
I am a servant of the Lord. May everything you have said about me come true.
A young woman says yes to the unimaginable. Her story is not the first, nor the last, when God will ask great things of his people. And when we say yes, it can change everything.
Well, there's a lot of that to that video that I could stand and criticize. I like the last part, when we say yes. Christmas is a call that the Savior has come. The call of Christmas is a call for all to come into a saving relationship with Jesus. The call of Christmas comes from the place, the person, and the circumstances in this story. And the call to the church is to provide the means to tell the story of Christmas. We're going to think about this morning, we're going to consider the call of Christmas. The call of Christmas is a call for a place for God to work. God is at work in human history. He has not forgotten us. He has not walked away from us. Verse 26 sets the stage. In the sixth month, 6 months or so after Zacharias is visited by this same angel and his wife Elizabeth becomes pregnant, Gabriel visits with this young woman, a teenager probably, to tell of the next step of God's work. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, you need to understand, was one of those places that you only got to if you were going to it. It wasn't big, it wasn't popular, it wasn't really much of anything. It was not Jerusalem, it was not the center of the Jewish world, but it was Nazareth, it was out there. But that's where God chose to work. A small, very not well thought of village by other Jews, but that is where God chose to work. Remember when Jesus began calling his disciples to him? Philip is called and he makes the comment to Andrew, his brother, and he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And yet that's where God chose to work. That's where God sent Gabriel. It was there in an out-of-the-way place that the Savior of the world would grow up. God knew the place for him to begin this part of his work. If you were to have surgery, you know you'd probably go to a hospital. That's where doctors work. If your car began making a funny noise, you know you would probably take it to a garage. That's where mechanics work. But where do you go for God to work? Well, that is, in my opinion, the beauty of what God does. It does not require a place as much as it requires a willing, open, obedient heart. Our country has, in our history, seen two great awakenings, two periods of time that were labeled as that, two great awakenings. Are we in need of a third? Do you believe, are you praying for God to send his spirit across this country and for us to experience a third great awakening? I long for the day that God would move in this country. I long for the day for him to come and change this country, to change people's hearts, to help them get rid of the bitterness and the anger and all that they carry around with them and just desire him. I think I told you I was a couple weeks ago at the state convention. I happened to run into Mark Harris. If you remember, Mark was here, what, 3-4 years ago, and I won't tell him this, but I remember the message that he preached at the convention was what he preached here. But it was a message that needed to be heard that day in this place, and it was a message that needed to be heard 2 weeks ago in Greensboro. He tells the story of hearing someone said that revival will not come when we begin to pray. Revival will come when we begin to get desperate. What or when is the last time you've been desperate for anything? When you become desperate, when we become desperate for God to work, that is when it's going to happen. Well, I don't care. Well, I don't have time for that. Well, somebody else can do it. Well, I'll do it if they call me. No, that's not desperate. Desperate is when we say, "Lord, what is it that I can do for you to use me to bring about your kingdom?" God needs a place to work. It could be Franklin, North Carolina. That could be where the Great Awakening could start. But are we going to pray? Are we going to work? Are we going to share our faith with other people so that that great awakening might happen? Or are we just going to say, well, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. Wherever you are this Christmas, God can use you to be a part of His plan and to do His will. Will you provide a place for God to work? The call of Christmas is a call for a person for God to work through. God is at work in human history. The angel Gabriel goes to Mary, a young woman, a young virgin. Mary was probably somewhere between 13 and 15 years old. And she was betrothed, it says, betrothed to Joseph. Now, it's much more, you probably have heard this every Christmas, but that's much more than what we understand as an engagement. An engagement in our day is, well, they might get married, they might not. But there's no legal binding there. For them, they were betrothed. There was a legal binding. The theater company just did Fiddler on the Roof. And I won't break out into song, but you remember part of the story? Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match, find me a, whatever it goes. Because that's what they did in that day. The fathers would get together. And a bridal price had been paid to Mary's father. They were legally married. But the marriage had not been consummated. She was still a virgin. Joseph, her husband-to-be, was of the lineage of David. It was to fulfill prophecy. And so when Gabriel comes in to speak with her, he gave in her mind a most unusual greeting. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. The call of Christmas is a reminder that the Lord is with you. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with us. And the Lord can work through you. Well, I don't have many, I can't do this and I can't do that. You can do all that God needs you to do if you'll just let Him use you. And he says, the angel says to Gabriel says to her, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son and call him Jesus. Mary stepped forward as a person for God to work through. Remember the account of Isaiah going to the temple? It was probably a day like every other day that he had been going to the temple. This day, when he woke up, he had no idea of what was about to happen. But he goes to the temple and he sees the Lord. The glory of the Lord fills the place. Remember what his reaction was? Lord said, who will go for us? And he said, here I am. I'll go. Here I am. I'll go. Send me. Isaiah, as was Mary, was a person that God could work through. Are you a person that God can work through? As we think of missions, international missions, after hearing part of Lottie Moon's story, will you be someone that God can work through? I tell you, I'm not much on premonitions or things like that, but I got to tell you, I think out of that group of kids, there's going to be some missionaries. And it's up to us to train them and nurture them and love them in Christ and grow them up in Christ for Him to use them. But as we think about missions, will you give to missions? Will you pray for missions? And will you possibly be someone to go on missions? As you think of what God is doing here, will you be part of what God is doing? reaching kids, reaching adults with the good news of the coming of the Messiah? Will you be a person God can work through? The call of Christmas is a call for circumstances that allow God to work. God is at work in our history. When the angel came to Mary, Scripture says she was perplexed, maybe even a little bit afraid. She was being called to provide the womb and nurturing for Jesus. And Jesus, by the way, means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Mary provided herself, and God would do the rest. As she thought about it for a moment, she asked, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" She was not expressing unbelief. She was just basically saying, Lord, help me to understand. I don't understand this. But remember what happened to Zacharias in last week's account, which is the first part of Luke chapter 1? He said, that just can't be. I'm old. My wife's old. It just can't be. What happened to Zacharias? Muteness. He could not talk until the baby came. But Mary said, "Lord, I don't understand, because here I am, a virgin, a young woman. I'm betrothed, I'm married, but how's this going to be?" And God began to explain it to her. God began to explain it to her. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God." Is that not a great motto to live by? Nothing will be impossible with God. Mary was basically saying, "Lord, I trust you." While there are similarities between what was happening with Mary and what happened with Zacharias and Elizabeth, consider the differences. One child was to be a messenger, the other, the Messiah. A second difference was old age and virgin birth. John was born to an old couple beyond childbearing years. Jesus was born to a virgin. A third difference was John was the priest of God. Jesus was the servant of the Lord. Christmas is a call for circumstances that allow God to work. The story is called "It Happened on the Brooklyn Subway." It is one of my all-time favorites, and it is a story of how God works through circumstances. Marcel Sternberger was the man's name. He was an immigrant from Hungary, and he did on January 10th, 1948, as he always did. He caught the 909 subway into Brooklyn. En route, he decided to visit a Hungarian friend who was ill, and so he had to go to a different place in the city. And he stayed until mid-afternoon. On his way home, the subway was crowded. As he got on the car, a man sitting by the door suddenly jumped up to leave, and Marcel slipped into the empty place. The man he sat down next to was reading a Hungarian language newspaper, which prompted Marcel to strike up a conversation with him. Marcel learned the man's whole family had gone to Auschwitz and presumably died there, even the man's wife. The man had managed to immigrate to the United States just a few short weeks before that fateful day. As the man talked, Marcel kept thinking that somehow the man's story seemed familiar. A young woman he had recently met had been from the same town as the man in the subway. She had, too, had been sent to Auschwitz. Her relatives had been killed in the gas chambers there. The story so struck Marcel, he wrote down her name, address, and phone number. It seemed impossible there was any connection between this woman Marcel had met and this stranger he was now chatting with. But as he neared his station, Marcel asked the man if his name was Bella. The man turned pale. Well, yes. How did you know? Marcel asked him another question. Is your wife Maria? At that, the man about fainted. Yes. They got off the train. They found a phone booth. and called the number Marcel had written down. Marcel asked her to describe her husband and their address in Hungary. When the man met her description, Marcel asked the address, and Bella said to him the address. And so Marcel said to Bella, "Something miraculous is about to happen. Take the phone and talk to your wife." And the story ends with this question: was it chance, or did God ride this Brooklyn subway that afternoon? Well, let me ask it this way: was it chance, or does God work through circumstances? God can and does work through circumstances to do His will and for His glory. Will you be open to whatever circumstances you find yourself in today, tomorrow, next week if He gives it, for God to work in your circumstances? Watching a little football yesterday, watching a lot of football yesterday. One of the games I watched was the OU-OSU ball game played out of Norman, Oklahoma. I've been to that stadium more than once. A lot of good memories there. I remember thinking in 1979 or about then, my sister and brother-in-law lived in Norman, and one fall afternoon, Doug and I went and played golf. And we were out on the golf course miles away from the stadium, and all of a sudden we could hear the people roar. Had no idea what they were saying, you know, "Yes, get way to go," whatever it was that they were saying. All we heard was noise. If they were saying something important to me, I couldn't understand it. I needed someone to come to me and speak to me. I could hear them, but I couldn't understand them. That is our part to go when it comes to kingdom growth. Kingdom growth is not going to happen by us opening the doors. Kingdom growth is when we go out to be the church. Let me go ahead and say it. We've gathered to worship. Gathering to worship is important. It is critical. But for kingdom growth to really begin to happen, we're going to have to go out to be His hands and feet. Will we do that? Will we be the church out with our neighbors, with family, with people we see at the store, with people we work with? Will we be God's hand and feet in Franklin? This is the place. Will you be a person God can use, that God can work through? Do you trust He has the circumstances of your life under control for His glory? The call of Christmas.